Chapter 7. Eric's House. Inspector Mifroy asked the managers where Christine Daae was. The managers were shocked to learn that Christine was missing, and the inspector was surprised to learn that they didn't already know. Just then, Viscount de Chauny entered the room.
"I know who took Christine Daae. It was Eric. He lives in the opera, and he is the angel of music."
"This is a serious matter. I hope you do not intend to waste my time," said Mifroy.
"I understand," said Raoul. "I know this sounds unbelievable, but it is true. I can tell you all about the opera ghost."
But as the inspector heard more of Mr. Deschani's story, he was convinced Raoul had lost his mind. The door suddenly opened, and a man entered. He went up to the inspector and spoke to him in a whisper. During this conversation, Mr. Mifroy did not take his eyes off Raoul. At last, addressing Raoul, Mifroy said,
"Viscount, I understand you were to leave with Christine Daae after the performance tonight, and you had recently argued with your brother, who disliked your relationship with Miss Daae?"
"Yes, sir."
"We believe your brother carried off Christine Daae to prevent your marriage."
"Oh," cried Raoul, pressing his hand to his heart, "I shall catch them."
And he rushed out of the office. As Raoul ran to the stairs, someone blocked his path. It was the Persian again. The Persian said he was sure Eric, not Count Philippe, had taken Christine. He was the first person who had ever spoken to Raoul of Eric, apart from Christine, and so Raoul trusted the Persian. They went to Christine's dressing room, where the Persian handed Raoul a pistol. Then he climbed on a chair and started pressing along the edges of the mirror.
"Be ready," he said after a long search.
Raising his finger above his head, he pressed a corner of the mirror. The glass started to ripple like a sheet of water. It turned, carrying Raoul and the Persian with it, throwing them into the deepest darkness. They were in the vast cellars of the opera. According to the Persian, they would be able to enter the monster's house from the theater's third cellar. In the third cellar, the Persian pressed his fingers along the wall in the same way as he had pressed the mirror's edges. A stone gave way, leaving a hole in the wall that the Persian said would lead them into Eric's house. The two men dropped through the hole. It closed up as soon as they had passed through. As their eyes grew used to the dim light, they saw a tree and a mirrored wall.
"We have dropped into the torture chamber," said the Persian in a voice full of fear. He had heard stories of the room.
The Persian knew that Eric was the cause of the troubles at the opera and had tried to stop him once before. He tried on another occasion to enter Eric's house, but it had almost killed him. Eric had pulled him down into the lake, and he had nearly drowned. Eric warned him never to try to enter his house ever again. As the Persian had watched the relationship between Eric and Christine Daae, it was clear to him that Christine did not really love Eric. The Persian knew that Christine's heart belonged to Raoul de Chauny. He feared what would happen if Eric were to find out, and so he was determined to find a way to enter Eric's house and talk to him. One day, the Persian saw the monster press on a spring that moved a stone and opened a door in the third cellar. Eric passed through, and the stone closed behind him. That was the entrance through which the Persian and Raoul had just entered. And this is how the Persian and Raoul ended up in Eric's torture chamber. The two men heard a door opening and shutting in the next room, and then they heard the voice of the monster.
"You must make your choice. Marry me or die."
The Persian told Raoul to stay silent so they could remain unnoticed.
"I want to live like everybody else," said Eric. "I want a wife I can take out on Sundays. I have invented a mask that makes me look like anybody. People will not even turn around in the streets. You are crying. You are afraid of me. Love me and you shall see. All I want is to be loved for myself.
There was no sound from Christine. Suddenly, there was a ringing of an electric bell.
Somebody is trying to enter my house?
Walk in, please, Eric said, laughing.
They heard him leave the room, so Raoul called out to Christine. She hurriedly told them all about what had happened. Eric had tied her up because she had tried to kill herself in order to escape him. He had given her a deadline of 11 o'clock the next evening to decide whether or not to marry him. He had told her that if she said no, everybody would be dead and buried. Christine begged Raoul and the Persian to escape and save themselves, but they needed her to open the door. She had to get free.
Christine, the Persian said, you need to persuade him to untie you.
Steps sounded slowly behind the wall. They heard Christine's voice asking the monster to untie her because her wrists hurt. At first, he refused, but then he agreed when she promised not to kill herself.
Will you be mine? If you say no, it will be over for everybody.
You know, the man who rang at the door just now, well, he looked a lot like...
There, turn round. You're free now.
Oh, my poor Christine, look at your wrists. Have I hurt them?
That alone deserves death.
Speaking of death, the visitor needs to be taken care of.
The Persian was reminded of the time he had tried to cross the lake, and he remembered how he had nearly drowned in those inky waters. He wondered who was at the shore this time. Eric's voice became angry all of a sudden.
Where are my keys?
With her hands untied, Christine had taken the key to the torture chamber. She pretended that she was simply curious to see inside, but Eric was not fooled. Worse, he had guessed why she wanted the keys, because suddenly the torture chamber was flooded with light.
Do you see the forest in there, Christine? I designed it all, but I am very tired of it. I want to have a nice, quiet apartment with ordinary doors and windows and a wife inside it. Tell me you love me. No, you don't love me, but you will. We will have lots of fun. For example, I'm the greatest ventriloquist that ever lived. Perhaps you don't believe me? Listen.
The monster really was a master ventriloquist. It was a skill that allowed him to play many of his tricks. It was how he communicated in Box 5. It was Eric's voice that made Carlotta croak. He showed his skill to Christine, and soon the terrible voice was everywhere. Eric was everywhere, and for some reason the room was getting very hot. The torture chamber was lined entirely with mirrors. In one corner was an iron tree. A system of electrical wires allowed Eric to control the temperature and lighting of the room at will. He was able to make the room look and feel like a tropical forest. There was only one door, and it was hidden. The torture was already working on Raoul. He was shouting and waving his arms. Meanwhile, the Persian was trying to find the hidden door, but soon the heat took hold of him as well. As the hours passed, heat and thirst began to kill them. The Persian stared at the foot of the iron tree, wondering if this was where he would die. But as he stared at the tree, something gave him new hope. He saw a black-headed nail. He pressed the nail, and a trapdoor opened in the floor. The hole led to a cellar full of barrels. A drink at last! But when they opened a barrel, it was full of gunpowder. They then understood what the monster meant when he had told Christine that everyone would be dead and buried if she said no. He was going to blow up the opera. He had given her until 11 o'clock to decide. What was the time at the moment? They had no idea. They rushed back up to the torture chamber, shouting for Christine. Fortunately, the monster had gone out for a while and Christine was alone.
It is 5 minutes before 11 o'clock. He gave me two boxes, Christine told them. One contains a brass grasshopper and the other a brass scorpion. He said, "Turn the scorpion if you want to say yes. Turning the grasshopper will mean no." And he laughed like a demon. Then he said, "Be careful of the grasshopper. A grasshopper jumps. It jumps very high. I think these are switches. What should I do?"
Raoul told Christine to turn the scorpion. He thought the grasshopper must control an electric current that would blow up the gunpowder. But the Persian feared it was another trick. Perhaps it was the scorpion that would blow everything up. Eric was not to be trusted. They heard Eric's steps enter the room. The Persian spoke.
"Eric, it is I. Do you know me?"
"So, you are not dead yet," replied Eric coldly.
"Christine, the scorpion or the grasshopper?
If you turn the grasshopper, a whole quarter of Paris will be blown up. If you turn the scorpion, all that powder will be made wet and we will be married."
There was a terrible silence.
"You have 2 minutes or I will blow everything up anyway."
"Eric," cried Christine, "is the scorpion really the safe choice?"
"Yes."
Christine chose the scorpion. At first, nothing happened, but then water started to rise in the cellar above the barrels. Raoul and the Persian drank thirstily. The water continued to rise.
"Eric, Eric, that is enough water. Turn off the water," cried the Persian.
But Eric did not reply, nor did Christine. The water rose still higher, and the Persian lost consciousness.